Yeah, wow, look at all the people here. They mentioned it. I was going to be preaching tonight, and you all still came. And I'm glad you're here, though. Like Brother Cook mentioned, we are very, very busy. I've been packing, and we even gave ourselves a couple extra days, but it still didn't seem like it was enough time. We have about 99% of everything done, and we're heading out tomorrow. So even tonight after the service, I'll be doing some things to make sure we just are all cared for. Tomorrow morning, even up early. And finishing up just some last things, some phone calls and emails and things like that. And so we're very excited, though, to be getting back to the field. And as many of you know, of course, we've been to the field in Ireland and started one church there. We're just so thrilled to be getting back there later this week. And we just love this church and love being here. And on purpose, we've left the last few weeks open so that we can be here and be with you and spend as much time around the church and be in all the services and master clubs, as Brother Cook mentioned. And we've just enjoyed the last few weeks here tremendously. And I just wish Preacher was here tonight. I really do. We had a real sweet time in the prayer meeting tonight. And I appreciate those men. I appreciate all the men of the church, but I appreciate the men especially that come to the prayer meeting. It just seems like that we're just kind of a knit group together. And as we pray and just get to enjoy just time together as men and praying. And so I'd encourage you to do that. I'm not putting a plug in for Preacher or anything like that, but it's just such a wonderful time. And especially if you're here and you feel like, boy, you know, I don't really fit in somewhere, or you just don't seem as connected as I like to be, come to the prayer time a few times. Come a few weeks in a row, and you'll enjoy it, and you'll want to be here at 5 o'clock every Sunday after that. And so we just have a great, great time with that. And my in-laws are here tonight, and so I'm glad they're with us as well. And all my kids are here somewhere. They're sitting with different people. But everybody's trying to get in their last few minutes to spend with our kids and things. And we just, like I said, we've just enjoyed being here, the time we've been here, and getting to spend the time that we have been with you, and getting to know many of you folks that we didn't get to know before. And have built some good relationships. And I want to thank all of you who have had a part in to help our family. I just want to quickly say something to the Monroes. They have just been a big, big help to us as we're on deputation. As we traveled, we have a couple dogs, and we just cannot take them with us. We'll have hair all over the van and hair all over us, and it won't look good going into churches. And so people think I have long hair, amen. And they've taken care of the dogs every time that we've asked them. And it's kind of like they had their mind made up. They're going to say yes, and they'll figure out how they're going to do it afterwards. And they've just been a big, big blessing to our family and have helped us in that way. And it may sound like a little thing, but it is really a big thing. For us, because when we were first starting deputation, we didn't know how we were going to do it. We just had no idea, and we thought we'd ask them, and every time they've helped us. And even over the next month, our dogs are going to go to Ireland with us, but it just has a lot of red tape to take animals into a new country, and so they're going to actually keep them for us for the next month before they can actually come to Ireland with us, and we're trying to get the best price and all that, and it's just a lot of red tape, but they're going to be a big help to us in that regard as well. So I just wanted to say thank you very much to them and for what they've been have meant to our family. Also, if you would just kind of keep up with Preacher, keep up with our prayer letters as they come. We'll be sending you our address once we get it there. We don't have a place yet. As Brother Cook mentioned, we'll be leaving tomorrow morning, heading to Chicago, staying the night in Hammond area, and then up Tuesday morning, and then we leave in the afternoon to go up to the airport, and then Tuesday evening around 6:30, 7 o'clock, we fly out to Ireland. We arrive Wednesday, and we're going to stay in the capital city of Dublin for about 2 days, just kind of get settled and kind of get the jet lag, get that wore off out of us there, out of our system, try to find a vehicle, and then start looking for housing. You really cannot get a house in advance unless I went over to get a house and actually signed a lease and all that. They won't reserve a house for you in advance. You have to actually go there and put the money down and all that. And those of you who rent homes and have rented homes, you know that's how it has to be. And so we'll be doing that. So please pray over the next month. I'm asking folks to pray. It won't take us that long to find a house. I hope it doesn't, at least. And my wife hopes that more than I do. And so pray over the next month that things just kind of go smooth. Number one, to find a home. Number one, for immigration. We need to get in through immigration and not have trouble. They have been giving missionaries some trouble lately. And they're working on the laws still right now with immigration in Ireland. And so please pray about that we would be able to get our stamps the way we need to get them on our passport. And we have all of our paperwork in order. We're doing the best we can, but we still could miss something. And so pray that about that, number one. Number two, that we'd find the right housing. Of course, a vehicle, we need to get that early on so we're not renting a vehicle too long. And of course, I pray that just kind of get things settled there. And we're hoping and praying that we'll be able to start things with the next church in Ireland in the fall. And so, but we really need to get our footing there and kind of get grounded once again and then be able to get going with that. And of course, we're planning on being there long term. You won't probably see us as much, especially over the next few years, several years. We're planning on staying on the field. I've been going to pastor school every year since 1993, and I'm on purpose missing next year just so I can stay on the field and not be there. But I want to be there, and I'll probably be watching online at 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. I would just ask you to just continue to pray for our family. Get our address, send cards, send letters, send emails, whatever you like to do, and send peanut butter. We need that there in Ireland. We can't get good peanut butter there. It's all weird looking, and it's not Reese or Jif or the good stuff like that. It's really bad, and so we need it. And so please send a case of peanut butter over. You keep up with us, and I'll continue to send updates to preacher and prayer requests so that men can pray and folks can pray on Wednesday night as well for the needs that we have there. In Ireland, and just so that we can attack this together. We'll go there and we'll do the work, and if you guys will pray down the blessings and pray God to take care of us, and we'll work together as a team. And that's the way it should be. Amen. That's the way the relationship we want to have with all of our churches, but especially our home church here, with so many people that we know and love. Knowing that you're praying for us is a big, big help to us. And so we appreciate you so, so very, very much. Take your Bibles tonight. I won't keep you long. And my wife's going to give me a funny look if we go over a certain time. And no, she's not. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And I plan on staying behind the pulpit here all night. I put the side mic away there. Matthew chapter number 9. I'm going to start reading in verse number 35. I just want to say thank you so much for the message this morning, Brother Stewart brought, Brother Rodney Stewart, about God's love and how his love is proclaimed and how it's proved and purchased and how it's patient and how it's perfected in us. What a blessing that message was to me. And as he was preaching it, I thought to myself, boy, I don't know Brother Stewart. I haven't met him still, I've heard so much about him, and I know many of you know him. And I thought to myself, boy, our messages just dovetail together so well, and God has done that so many times. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for that message about God's love in our life. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight, but specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the compassion that Jesus has towards people and towards us. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. Let's start reading there in Matthew chapter number 9. I'll start reading in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." Tonight I want to bring you a message. If I gave it a title, I would call it A Heart for the Harvest. A Heart for the harvest. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for those who have come out. And thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for the message we heard earlier. Thank you for just loving us and taking care of us and being good to us. And Lord, whatever situation we find ourselves in right now, you're good to us no matter what. And God, tonight, I don't deserve the opportunity to preach tonight, but I thank you that you've given me that opportunity. I pray tonight that you'd use me, Lord, and that I would say the words you'd want me to say. And those who are here tonight would do the same. They would have the spirit and the attitude that they'll do what you would have them to do, and they'll say what you'd have them to say. And Lord, that we would just be obedient. We would just be moldable and usable in your hands. And I believe that's what you want tonight, Lord. I believe that you want us just to be yielded in our hearts to you. So please bless tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we look at the scripture here, I just wanted to kind of mention some things before we get into it. You know, knowing the facts about something is a little bit more different than actually having a heart for it. I mean, you can know the facts about certain areas or certain categories or certain different things, but it's a little different than having a heart for it. I know things about certain sports, and I like sports. I like watching football, especially college football, and I love it. But you know, I know things about baseball. I know things about hockey. I know things about basketball and different things. But I don't really know as much about that as I know about football. If I sat down with my son, I can, and something happened, or a referee made a decision or a call or threw a flag, I can usually tell my son, this is why they did it, and this is why, and this guy should have done that. And I know more about it. I have more of a heart for football more than I would say baseball. I understand baseball, ins and outs of it. I don't understand hockey as well as I do football. So I know the facts about hockey, but I don't really have a heart for it. And I think about our church here. I know there are some Pittsburgh Steeler fans. Amen. And Brother Johns isn't here tonight. And I know right down here are some fans. And I saw Brother Cook yesterday. We were over at Regionals. And he had his Pittsburgh Steelers belt buckle on. Amen. And you know, we just you know, I know he's probably got a coat and a hat and a shirt and, you know, and pajamas and everything else. And everybody's thinking, boy, you look through my wardrobe. And I won't tell you what else he had, Pittsburgh Steelers, but other people here, you love Pittsburgh Steelers, and you know all about them, and you know everybody on the team, and you know who's the guard and the tackle and the center and all the different positions, and you know them, you know their middle name, you know what they weigh, and you know their stats and different things and what college they went to, and you know all about it. You have a heart for it. And there's other things as well, like the Bible. You can look at the Bible and you can say, boy, you know things about the Bible. You know key things that happened about it. Maybe you know things in chronological order. And maybe you know key men or key people or key stories in the Bible. But then somebody else may have more of a heart for it. They may, like a preacher or a missionary or something like that would have more of a heart for it. And we all should, of course, have a heart for the Bible as Christians. Soul winning. You know, you can go out soul winning and you can know the plan. You can know the plan in and out. You can memorize the verses. You can have them all in your head, but it's a different thing than having it in your head than having it in your heart. And just last week, I was out soul winning. My daughter and I, Kendall, we went out and over here by Wendy's and an apartment complex over there. And we knocked on three doors that day. That's all we knocked on. Didn't get any further. Just three doors. And I met a lady and talked with her. And then I met her husband. And I just got to talk with her. And she was telling about some things and some struggles and difficulties that she was having. You know, I began to put myself into their situation. I began to put myself into their life, into their shoes, if I could say that. And I kind of invited myself into the home. I asked if I can come in, and my daughter and I went inside, and we sat down, and we talked about a half an hour or so, and just friendly talk and kind of trying to win them to myself a little bit. And I asked them the question, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And the one man told me, he said, you know, he says, to tell you the truth, you know, he says, I'm about 90% sure. He said, I think I'm 90% sure. I asked the wife, and she said, you know, I don't know at all. I have no idea. And I thank them for being honest about it. And I took my Bible and showed them right from the scripture how they can know for sure they'll have a home in heaven one day. And it took about 20 minutes or so talking with them. And I think the phone rang. I think the baby cried. And all kinds of things happened. But we stayed on the plan, stayed on the track. And both of them trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if you're able to put yourself into it a little bit, you're able to have compassion. I think you're going to go a little bit further. And instead of just knocking on a door and saying, asking a question, say, number one, number two, number three, pray with me, and you go on the next door, you're only with somebody 3 or 4 minutes. Have compassion on people. And there's a little difference there than having it in your head rather than having it in your heart. And people all around us are struggling. And we're talking about that in a men's prayer meeting. Men, I know there are men here today who you're laid off from your jobs. And I remembered when my wife and I were just newly married. We got married in September of 1992, and the day before Thanksgiving, I worked extra hours and everything else because the holiday was coming up and at Christmas and all that. And the day before Thanksgiving, my employer pulled me into the office. He said, gave me the pink slip. He said, "You're going to be laid off." He says, "I don't know if we're going to be able to call you back or not," and just struggle, and I know what that's like. And I look, and I don't know everybody who's here who might be struggling financially, who might be struggling maybe with the marriage or family or children or whatever it might be, but I know there are struggles here. Probably in every pew, there are people who are struggling. Probably the person sitting next to you probably has some kind of struggle they're dealing with right now. Maybe they didn't mention it in prayer time. Maybe they didn't mention it to the pastor. Maybe they didn't mention it on Wednesday night or anything like that. It's kind of just in their heart. But if we just have compassion on people, I think that'll go a long ways. If we have compassion, people are struggling. I remember Brother Hiles. He used to talk about this when we were in college. We would have a 6 o'clock hour with him on Saturday night, and it's kind of a question and answer time. Just the preacher boys can go, and we usually had about 100 or 200 men would show up, and we'd show up, and Brother Hiles would be up there on the platform, and he'd let you ask any question you wanted. He would answer your questions for you. He'd try to, and he always had an answer. And so he always said, "Come to the fountain of knowledge, and I'll give you the answer." But he would joke, and we'd play around. We just real casual time with him, but he would. He used to tell us, he said he used to have a radio program in his early years of the ministry, and he would always finish that radio program by saying, "Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a tough time." It may not show on their face. They might smile. You might say, "Hey, how you doing?" And they'll say, "Hey, I'm doing great." But really inside, they're struggling. They're going through a difficulty. Maybe they have a sickness at home. And my wife's been sick just so much the last month. And it's been hard on our family because, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. When mama's not happy, things just in the house just don't run well. And we're moving and the devil's fighting. And you come up to me and say, "Hey, Brother Cree, how you doing?" I say, "I'm doing great." But really inside, we're struggling. We're having some struggles. We're okay spiritually. We're going to go to the field and everything else fine. The devil's is going to work and the devil's going to fight, and we expect that. And I even told my wife, I think the last 60 days, I said, we really just kind of be on guard because the next 60 days, the devil's going to do all he can to try and mess us up, to kind of trip us up, to put us on a detour, to get us off track. And we just need to really be on guard. And our family's been on guard extra strong, double duty, because we're watching out for the devil. Everybody's struggling. Everybody's going through difficult times. But I want to talk to you tonight about this portion of Scripture here we read. Let's look back there. Keep your Bibles open also, if you would. Verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." He saw multitudes in this city. He saw multitudes in that village. He saw multitudes in this area and that area. And he looked at every one of them. He's God, and he knows in their hearts what they're struggling with. He knows that they're having a difficult time in this area or that area. And he had compassion on them. He had love for them, like we learned about this morning, about the love that God has for us. He had compassion on them. He saw them and he saw their multitude. Do we have our eyes open when we look at people here, and we know a lot of people are struggling, going through difficulty of some sort? Do we have compassion? Do we reach out and say, I want to help you? Let me be a blessing to you. Let me help you. Let me do something to help you in this difficult time you're going through. You know, I think about the Beagles. They left just a month and a half or 2 months ago or something like that. I can't remember, but I remember sitting back there, and they were right back in that area there. They stood up, and I thought to myself, boy, it's got to be very difficult for that family to leave. They've been here a long time. And all of us knew them, all of us loved them, and for them to have to move because of the economy and go up north, and, boy, what a difficult thing that was for them to go through. And I thought to myself, boy, you know, they're struggling. That they're having a tough time. You know, we can pray for people at least, amen? I mean, just have our eyes open to what's going on around us. But many times I believe we get calloused. You know, we go through hard times today. Well, they're going through a hard time. Well, you know, it's just their turn. You know, why be callous like that? Why have a hard heart like that? And just instead of saying, you know what, they're going through a hard time, let me just forget about my problem right now and let me just try and help them. Or many times we say, oh, well, you know what, I know how they live, and you know what, they deserve what they're going through right now. You know, we have no idea that they deserve that. We have no idea why they're going through something. Instead of judging them, why not reach out and help them? Instead of passing judgment on them, why don't we say, you know what, let's be a blessing. Let's do something extra special for them. Instead of passing judgment on them. I remember Brother Hiles used to also talk about a story. He said it was a woman who used to come to him all the time. And she'd come to him in the office and have a little counseling session. She'd say, I'm depressed. Or boy, all this is going wrong. Or this is a problem. And that's a problem. And she laid all these problems out for Brother Hiles. And Brother Hiles said, you know what? I'm going to help you with your problem here. He says, this is what you need to do. You need to go home and bake some cookies. She said, what? He said, I want you to go home and bake some cookies. He says, I want you to find a family in the church who's struggling and take those cookies and give them to that family. And she said, how is that going to help me? He says, just go ahead and do it. And she went ahead and did it. And she came back to him and said, I did what you said. He said, now what I want you to do is I want you to go bake a pie. And I want you to go find another family. And I want you to take that pie to that family. He said, when you're done doing that, I want you to bake some brownies. And I want you to take some brownies to another struggling family. And I want you to give them to them. And I want you to bake a cake. And he gave her all kinds of things to do. And he kept her busy doing things for other people. And after about a month or so, he came to her and he says, by the way, how's your problems? By the way, how's your struggles coming along? She says, what struggles? She says, I don't have any struggles anymore. She says, I've forgotten about all my problems. I'm worried about taking care of other people's problems. And you know, that's the kind of an attitude and a spirit we need to have amongst each other. Hey, we're brethren and sisters, and you ladies are sisters. We're a family. Brother Cook just prayed just a moment ago, and he mentioned about a family, a church family. And I'm so thankful for a church family that loves me. And you're thankful for a church family that loves you when you're going through the hard times, when you're struggling at home, when you're in the hospital, when you have a loved one that is on the brink of eternity. You want people to pray for your loved one. And it's good to know that people are praying for them. Folks, we need to have compassion instead of being calloused. Put aside the callousness and say, I want to have compassion. I want to help my brother in Christ. Jesus had compassion and he acted on it. He looked at the multitudes and he said, I want to help them. I want to help them. I have compassion. He saw them. We have to, number one, we have to see in order to have compassion. I want you to take your Bible, keep your place there. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30. You all know the story here, the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30. The Bible says this, and it says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. He's giving us an example of having compassion. Here's a man who is struggling. Here's a man who's been beaten and half dead, the Bible says, in a ditch and probably going to die. And here comes a man by. And I think to myself, when I think about this story, you know, I always picture kind of a gravel road or a dirt road, and man walking on it. You know, when you walk on gravel, you can hear that, and where we lived out there in Onsted, we had a gravel driveway, and you walk down the driveway to get the mail or something like that. You can hear noise, or somebody's in the driveway, you can hear them walking, or a car pulls in, you can just hear that. And I think to myself, you know, here a man is in the ditch, and he's half dead, and been beaten by thieves. And here comes somebody walking by, and I think to myself, here this man is in the ditch. And I wonder if he can hear this certain priest walking by. He can hear somebody walking in closer and closer and closer, and he hears the footsteps getting closer and closer, and he thinks to himself, boy, finally somebody's come, and they're going to help me. Here comes somebody finally, and I thought I was going to die here, and here comes somebody walking. And then again, he begins to hear the footsteps get further and further away. And he begins to think to himself, why wouldn't they stop? Why wouldn't they help me? I'm struggling. I'm about to die. And somebody just walks right on by me. And he begins to hear somebody else come up, and he hears footsteps again, getting closer and closer. And he begins to think, boy, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's the same guy coming back. I don't know. And he's beginning to think, boy, I wish I could call out for help. I wish I could cry out, but I can't. And I would begin to think to myself, does all that play in his mind? And then he hears the footsteps go further and further away. And he begins to maybe cry, begins to wonder, begins to pray, and all of a sudden somebody comes finally and is a help to him and has compassion. Folks, many times I believe it's within our own power to be able to help those who are struggling. But many times we pass by. We pass by like these two men did. And instead, we need to be the one that has the compassion. Hey, folks, somebody who's in here struggling, the world's not going to help. The world's not going to be the one out there to put their arm around you and say, we love you, we care about you. It's going to be within these walls. We need to love and to care for each other, like the Bible says we should do. I've got a lot of pages here, but I promise you, we won't be long tonight. And I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages, okay? And we just are on number 1.5. And look there and go back to Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36. I want to point out something here to you. Jesus, he says, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them for 3 reasons. Number one, he said, because they were faint. Number one, I want to point out to you that Jesus saw the condition of the multitude. He saw that they were hurt. He saw that they were used. He saw that they were abused. He saw that Jesus was moved with compassion by knowing their circumstance. And they were faint. They're at a point where they were just ready to give up. They were at a point of being faint. Have you ever been to that point before? Maybe you worked real hard. Maybe you worked outside in the sun, and boy, the sun really took effect on you. And boy, you started feeling a little dizzy. You started feeling a little faint. And you grabbed onto something. You don't want to fall down. And you thought, well, you know, I need to get in the shade. I need to get some rest. I need to get a drink of water. And have you ever been to that point before? And that's what the Bible says here. It says they were because they fainted. They were exhausted. They were tired of fighting. You know, I remember some time ago. I have no idea how long ago it was. We were in a hotel. And we watched. We don't have a television at home, but if you do, that's fine. I'm not saying anything about that. That's another message. But we were at a hotel, and they had a television there, of course, in the hotel. And we watched something on the Nature Channel or some animal channel, whatever it is. Anyway, and we were watching something, and it kind of like a documentary or something like that. But it was about lions, and it talked about how they live and how they have their pride and how they have how they hunt and all that kind of thing. And I remember watching that, and I remember watching the lions how they would stalk their food, how they would stalk their prey, what they were going to about to attack, and how they would be so patient about it, and how they would hide in the weeds. They'd hide real low, and they'd sneak up a little bit at a time while the herd wasn't watching, while their head was turned. And at this particular time, it was antelope that were out there in the field, and they were grazing, they were doing their thing, and the lion began to just creep up slowly, just move a little bit at a time, and just move up a little bit when he thought he wasn't being watched. And the lion always watched, of course, for the weakest one of the antelope, the group there, and the one that maybe was straggling behind a little bit, maybe the one that was wounded even, and could not keep up. He definitely was not going after the strongest or the fastest one, and just looking for the weakest one. He'd creep up a little bit and go a little further, and right when he thought it was right, he would strike, and he would take off as fast as he could, and all of a sudden, all the herd saw it, and they all would take off, but before it was too late for that one. It'd be too late for that one who was dragging behind, who wasn't paying attention, and that lion would jump on top of that antelope, and it would just begin to beat that antelope down, and just begin to fight it, and begin to scratch it with its claws, and pound it with its claws, and with its hands, with its paws, and put his that lion would put his mouth around the throat of that antelope, and that antelope would begin to squirm and kick and fight, and you could tell there was just no way that antelope was going to get away. There's just no way the antelope was ever going to get out of the grip of that lion's mouth. And that lion would just hold on for dear life. Kind of like a bulldog would hold on. It gets a hold of something, it just does not let go. It just holds on for dear life. And that lion had a hold of the antelope, and that antelope began to slow down with its fight. The antelope began to start kicking a little bit less. And all of a sudden, his legs stopped kicking altogether. And all of a sudden, that antelope just kind of went limp. And just gave up the fight. He could fight all he wanted. He can kick and try to squirm and do all the different things, but there's no use. And he realized that there's no use. He's beaten. He's lost. And he's going to die. And that's exactly, I believe, how Jesus saw people here. He saw them as fainted, just given up. I'm just tired. Have you ever heard of somebody say? Have you ever heard anybody say it before? They're just tired of fighting. You know, Brother Career. I mean, I'm a Christian, and I work, and I try to do this, and I try to do that, but I'm just tired of fighting. I'm just tired of fighting it all the time. Have you ever heard anybody say that? They're faint. They're struggling. Have compassion for people. Because we all get to that point. I've been to that point where I just say, I'm serving the Lord and I'm traveling. And, we spend $200-$300 to go to a meeting and we get a $25 love offering. And I think to myself, Lord, what's going on? God, what's happening? I can't even feed my family for $25 for a meal. And Lord, what's happening? And, you do again and again, you say, what's going on? And you begin to feel faint. And you struggle. Folks, people go through that. And Jesus saw the multitude. He saw their condition. They were faint. And folks, there are people in this auditorium today, they're at the end of the rope. We're struggling. We need to love them. We need to be good to them. You know somebody who's in this auditorium who might be without a job? Be a blessing to them. Help them. Give them a $20 bill. Give them a gift card to the gas station. Amen. That'll be a big help to them. And do something for them. Provide a meal for them. Do something. Think about something. You know somebody's been in the hospital. Be a blessing to them. Somebody's struggling financially. Be a blessing to them. Somebody who's having a car trouble. Whatever it might be. There's something that God can put on your heart to help in some area. Have compassion. And God puts that in your heart. Have compassion. Say, I want to help. I want to help. Jesus saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they had fainted. And number two, I want to mention to you, because look there in your verse in the Bible there in verse 36, it says, and were scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad. They weren't together. They felt alone. They were scattered. They weren't together anymore. And, you know, many times when a family's close together, you know, they can rely on each other. And that's what we do on the mission field. We stay close together as a family. We have our time together, and we have devotion. And we have, of course, we'll be having church, you know, by ourselves throughout the summer. And we're a very close family. But, folks, when we start splitting up, boy, you start feeling all by yourself. You start feeling all alone. You start feeling like you're the only one. You're scattered abroad. You know, when we were on the mission field before, you know, and you begin to think that as you travel, as you do different things, you begin to think, boy, I'm the only one out here doing this. I'm the only one out here who's pitching in. I'm the only one doing this, and you feel like that too sometimes. You know, nobody wants to sacrifice and be in the nursery. Nobody wants to sacrifice and be an usher. Or nobody wants to do this or that. Nobody wants to get out of their comfort zone. But folks, you know, we begin to get all alone by ourselves, and we all of a sudden we feel scattered. And when you're scattered, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable for that attack, just like the antelope was vulnerable to the attack by the lions, and they had searched for answers. People in that day, they searched for answers all over the world to try and make them happy. And I began to do that. When I was unsaved, I would search, and I searched for alcohol, and I would think that would make me happy, but it left me empty, it left me alone. And I felt alone. And I looked to drugs, I looked to different things to try and bring happiness, but I always felt alone when I was all done. Nothing ever made me feel happy, and the only thing that ever has made me feel happy is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the only thing that will ever last. And of course, I'm happy with my wife and happy with my family and all that, and happy with my church home, my home church here, and everything else. But folks, Jesus Christ will never let you down. He'll never let you down. And number two, I mentioned because they were scattered, they were beaten, they were tired, and just tired of fighting, tired of fighting. And you know, when you step out on faith, I think about this sometimes with a faith promise. You know, we step out in faith. We say, you know, I believe God wants me to do this in faith promise. I'm going to put $50 a week or $50 a month or whatever it might be in the faith promise. And you step out in faith, and all of a sudden, the fight begins. All of a sudden, the car breaks down. All of a sudden, the washing machine is acting funny. Broke down. All of a sudden, something else happens, or you have a medical expense or something like that happens, and you begin to think to yourself, the fight is on. And the devil's beginning to work. He's beginning to fight and beginning to wear you down. Don't allow that to happen. Continue on working for the Lord. Continue on. And if you know somebody's struggling like that, have compassion. That's all I want to get across tonight. Just have compassion for people. Because we're all struggling. These people here today, that we're reading about here today, tonight, in this passage of Scripture here in Matthew, they were struggling. They were scattered abroad. And Jesus had compassion because they were scattered abroad. And they were just tired of fighting. And have you ever heard anybody say this before? Life was easier before I was a Christian. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you said it to yourself. Boy, you know, before I trusted the Lord as my Savior, boy, everything seemed fine. And there's no trouble, no problems. But boy, ever since I've become a Christian, boy, it just seems like, boy, all these troubles have been coming. And that happens so many times to people. And after 2 or 3 years, they drop out of church. Because they're tired of fighting. They're tired of the fight. And you know people like that who have been to church and been here for a short time, and then they're gone, and they're struggling. Have compassion. You see them come back on Easter. You see them come back on Christmas. Have compassion to them. Have compassion. Don't judge them and say, where have you been? You've only come twice a year. Now, don't judge them. Have compassion. They're struggling. They're struggling. Understand that we have an adversary right now. You have an adversary, the devil. He's working hard against us. Number one, I said to you tonight, Jesus saw the condition of the multitude. Number two, because they were faint. Number two, they were scattered abroad. And number three, they were sheep without a shepherd. They were sheep without a shepherd. Look at verse 36. It says, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were faint, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They had nobody lead them. They had no direction. That's what a sheep does, right? A shepherd takes care of the sheep. We were in Ireland. Many times we'd go for a day trip. We'd go to the mountain, or we'd go just drive somewhere in the country and just kind of get away a little bit and maybe have a picnic. And there was a certain mountain that we'd go to, and called the Comora Mountains. And they have some picnic tables and stuff there at the base of it. And We'd sit there and have a picnic and just have a good time. And we'd walk maybe on the mountain, and you know, I wouldn't go too far because get tired. And or it might start raining on you, whatever. But we'd be out there. Sometimes we'd see the sheep out there on the mountain. And one time we were out there, and they were gathering together because it was time to shear the sheep. And the shepherd was out there, and he was calling them. He had his dogs with him, and the dogs would be way far away. And I thought it was so neat. The dogs would be out there, and they'd go out, and they would just kind of circle them in, bring them in, like you see in an old Western or something like that, bringing the cattle around or whatever it might be. And they'd bring the sheep in, and they would the shepherd would direct the dogs, and the dogs would go that way. Or they'd say a signal, and they would do something, and the dogs would go that way and bring the sheep in. And there might be one straggler over there, and they'd send the dog back, and the dog would go get it and bring it back. Just amazing thing. But I began to think to myself, you know, those sheep are out there all day long, all week long, all month long. They're out there all by themselves, and they just kind of wander. They just kind of go their own way. They don't have any leadership. They don't have any direction. They just kind of wander. And folks, there are people all over this country, all over this city, who are just kind of wandering. They're just kind of living, just kind of making it, just kind of getting by day to day, week to week, paycheck to paycheck. And they're not happy. They have an emptiness inside. They want something more. They're not happy like Brother Rodney mentioned this morning. They don't have that peace that they're looking for. They don't have that in their lives, and they want to have that. But they're sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. I think to myself, you know, I believe these folks here, they tried this and they tried that. They looked to the left. They looked to the right. They looked here and they looked there to try and look out for something that would lead them, but they didn't have it. And Jesus saw that, and he said, "There's sheep without a shepherd." And he had compassion. If you look at those verses there, verses 35 and 36, Jesus kind of talks about it's more about their physical needs. But if you look at verse 37, 38, Jesus kind of turns it over to where it's a spiritual need. He mentions in 37, he says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, it'll send forth laborers into the harvest." He saw a need in their soul as well. He saw a need that they had for Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Jesus just had a well-rounded compassion for people. And I want to just kind of go through a couple points, some examples of Jesus' compassion. By no means is this a extended examples of Jesus' compassion. I know there's dozens and dozens of different other examples I can give you, but I'm just going to stick in Matthew and just kind of go through very quickly some different examples that Jesus we can see of Jesus' compassion for people. In Matthew chapter 4, number one, Jesus' compassion for us, he left heaven, amen. Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died on the cross, and put in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, rose from the grave. Why? Because he loves us. Amen. Because he had compassion for us. In Matthew chapter 4, it talks about the temptation of Jesus Christ, and the devil had Jesus out into the wilderness and was tempting Jesus Christ in different areas. And I believe Jesus looked ahead and he had compassion. He thought to himself, "I can't give into this temptation. I can't give into that temptation. I can't give into this temptation over here." He looked ahead and he said, there's a world of people. There's a multitude of people that are going to need a Savior one day. And he had compassion on us, I believe. And he said, I'm gonna do the right thing. And he did the right thing while he is tempted in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 5 talks about the Sermon on the Mount. The very first words in that chapter, chapter number 5, says, "And seeing the multitudes." Once again, Jesus seeing the multitudes. He saw the poor. He saw the mourning. He saw the hungry and the persecuted. And he saw those who were treated wrongfully and treated evilly and treated in a wrong way. And he had compassion. He had compassion on them in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals a leper. Jesus saw the condition of the leper, and he had compassion. He had compassion to try and help that leper. I believe in that day, many lepers didn't get any compassion. I believe they got stoned rather than compassion. I believe that they were an outcast. They were put out of the city, put out of the villages because it was contagious. They didn't have compassion. People, of course, the family were the only ones that would show any kind of compassion in that day. But Jesus was different. He showed compassion on the lepers. Matthew chapter 8, once again, Jesus heals the centurion's servant. Jesus felt love for the centurion, and his servant was healed. Jesus had compassion on both of those men. Matthew chapter 8, once again, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus never liked Peter, amen? And had his mother-in-law healed. And Jesus saw the mother-in-law, the fever, the problems that she was going through, and he had compassion on her. Matthew chapter 8, once again, Jesus casts out devils. Jesus was faced with many that were possessed with devils, that were controlled by them, that ruled over these over people, and he had compassion on them. An evil spirit, just a schoolmaster over somebody, and the people just a servant to that evil spirit. And Jesus saw him and had compassion. Matthew chapter 8, once again, Jesus heals the maniac of Gadara, and once again, having compassion on this man. No man wanted to be around the maniac of Gadara. No man wanted to go and try and help him. No man wanted to go and try to fix the situation. Maybe men have tried in the past and have been hurt. Maybe men have been killed. I don't know. But no man could tame him, the Bible says. No man could control him. Change could not keep him. Men were afraid of him. And I believe even there were even mothers that would even probably tell scary stories about him to the children, about some man who lived somewhere in some country that was this man, this maniac of Gadara. Did not have any compassion toward him. But Jesus Christ had compassion on him. For many years, this man was under the control of the devil. He cried out at night. He was in torment. He was in despair. And he was in anguish. But Jesus had compassion. Other people would just forget about it. But Jesus did not. Jesus did not forget about it. Do you have compassion? When you look around at this room and you know folks who are struggling, do you have compassion? Or do you just say, well, it's just their turn? Well, you know, they deserve it. You know, when you hear about the things that go on at RU on Friday night, the different men that come, do you have compassion for them? Men that are hurting, men that are struggling, men that need somebody to love them. You know, I guarantee you, when I came to this church, I needed somebody to love me. I needed somebody to say, I care about you. I guarantee you, if I'd have felt like I was a zero, I would have left. But somebody loved me. And Dr. Cox loved me. And Brother Hoag loved me. And so many other people, the Morans, they loved me. And so many other people, the Gilberts, loved me. And just so many other people, Alfreys, and I can go on and on. And I just think about, I think about them, and the Letsons just loved us. They were just so good to us. And we just thank God for them. And I shouldn't start to mention names because I'm going to forget somebody, but do you have compassion for people? That's that, like Brother Rodney mentioned this today, that people, I believe, are looking for peace and they're looking for love. Looking for somebody that is willing to love them. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus heals the palsy man. Once again, Jesus looked at him and he saw him and his situation and he had compassion on him. Matthew chapter 15, the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude. John chapter 11. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. Jesus had compassion on them. Actually, let me turn there real quick and we're going to be done. You can turn there. Well, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 32. John chapter 11, verse 32. The Bible says, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping. He came with her. He groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And they and said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And the Bible says in verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And look at verse 36, the Bible says, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Behold how he loved him. Hey, loving somebody is what makes the difference. It's what makes the difference. It's, you know, I could tell my wife I love her, but if I don't show her I love her, it doesn't mean anything. You know, my wife not only wants to hear the words, but she wants to see the action as well. Amen. And I don't know where it is in the Bible that says, perform the doing of it. But I tell my wife, I love you, honey, I love you, sweetheart. And sometimes she'll say something like that, perform the doing of it. You know, I mean, let's see some action here. And, you know, I don't want to have to hear it. You know, where are the flowers? Where's the this? Where's the that? And, perform the doing of it. Hey, have compassion and perform the doing of it. That'd be good. Let's change the title of that. Amen. And, I think to myself, there are people all over this area, you know, They may be the unlovely people. Unlovable, you know, people that you look at and you say, boy, they're not the cleanest person in the world. They're not the nicest people in the world. Boy, you know, they got an attitude or whatever. You know, let's love people. Let's love people. And, let's love each other. Let's love each other. And, we all have needs. You have needs and I have needs. Let's just be kind to each other. Like Brother Howell said, and because everybody's having a tough time. We're all going through difficult times. And not only that, folks, but there are people all over this world who are dying on their way to hell. And if we are going to have an attitude of me, myself, my own, and my family, and that's all, my four or no more, we're never going to be able to reach this world with the gospel. We're never going to get the love of Jesus Christ around this world. You know, we're going to Ireland. I've already told my wife this, that, you know, I want to have kind of a theme of having compassion, making a difference. And of some having compassion, making a difference. We want to love the people in Ireland one at a time, win one at a time, and build our church that way. I'm not responsible for building the church. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. I'm just going to go and work and do everything that we can do, and we're going to love people like the Lord Jesus Christ would want us to love people. And I'd ask you to do the same thing at home here. Love each other like you believe Jesus Christ would want you to love each other as brethren. We're family. We're family. And I look at you as my extended family, and I'm so thankful that I have a family that loves our family.